Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han. Good evening, Han.
Good evening, Jim. How are we doing today?
Doing real well, trying to keep out of the nasty weather. Northeastern Ohio, along with a lot of the northern Midwest, is getting hit pretty good with a lot of interesting stuff. Today it's sleeting and raining ice, and tomorrow it's supposed to be rain. So it's an interesting time after getting 8 to 10 inches of snow. But that's nothing compared to the folks in the Northeast. I believe they got feet as opposed to inches. Now, of course, that has nothing to do with where you're at in Florida, right, hon?
Well, the weather forecast in Florida, St. Pete, Florida, is about right now. Currently, it is dark out, and it's about 60 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
So snow is a four-letter word, I'm telling you.
Well, welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, episode number 18. Tonight we're going to talk about starting my dental practice. Am I ready? And we've got a really special guest host that's going to be calling in about 15 minutes. Dr. Hunsinger is going to join us, the expert of being at a point when do you know you're ready and what you need to do and how you need to do it and setting yourself up to be in a situation to be able to move forward and actually starting your own practice. So, in reality, this is a show dedicated to a lot of the young dentists out there that are in that kind of position and wanting to think about what do I do next and how do I do it. So that's coming up here shortly. Obviously, if you'd like to call in and ask a question when either myself or Han or, of course, Dr. Bill, when he gets online, you can call in our number is 657-383-1442, and we'll do everything we can do to answer your question. You don't have to give your real name, as Han has always said, and we'd enjoy hearing from you. As well as if you need any information about us, once you've listened to the show, you can get other previous podcasts on our website, along with a whole plethora of info, all dedicated to dealing with dental design. And that's at www.hjtdesigngroup.com or design.com, I'm sorry. And Han, between now and when Bill gets online, you were discussing with me before we started the show a kind of an interesting topic that came across the airways on Dental Town having to do with animals in the dental practice.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic that I can't say that we are an expert at, but it's I think all of us had some level of or very strong opinion or should I say feeling about. Don't get me wrong, I'm not an animal hater. I used to have pets and stuff like that, and they are an extension of your family and such. That is at your home. But when it comes to commercial space and environment, I think there need to be an honest discussion from every angle and every aspect that's possible. I've often, I used to think that, on the funny side, remember the Pink Panther, one of the movie where where he was asked, does your dog bite? And he'd say, no, my dog don't bite. That had been said to me a couple of times. However, I have 7 stitches on my backside to prove that it dog do bite. Okay. In this particular discussion, it was about having animal, particularly dogs, in your facility. And there's not really And I think it needs to be handled on a case-by-case scenario. It has to be applied to specifically your state and your local ordinance. You know, there is so many rules and regulations that businesses, have to be worried about to be compliant with and stuff like that. We as the architectural entity, things that we often focus on are building codes, the accessibility code, which is, the ADA, some OSHA issue, and we deal with the local, the state, and the federal level. However, those areas, now the ADA have their guideline that deals with animals in your building, what's allowed, what's not. OSHA, I don't think that has been debated. I haven't really checked into OSHA to see there's such a requirement, but I imagine if you go into a building and you're confronted by unrestrained animal or unrestrained dog that belongs to somebody else, we can debate on the topic whether it's a safe place for the employees and the occupant of the building or not. And so the labor law do have some guidelines, and the health department had some guidelines. But the and then you have this craziness is that with the debate often between two camps. One is a service animal, and then the other one is comfort animals. Actually, the third camp is no animals. Okay, obviously, there is absolutely no debate on the legitimacy of service animal. Because a service animal provide some defined task and function to assist the individual that needs their help. That particular animal, whatever the breed is, go through a very rigorous training program so that it become almost like, an extension of that individual that needs help. That person is, has legitimate handicaps, whether, for whatever reason, they are, they're disabled in some form, so they need that service animal. The other camp that has a huge debate is the comfort animal. It could be range from anything, literally anything. A pot-bellied pig, you heard that famous incident just last fall or something, where a peacock was being brought onto a plane as a comforting animal.
Wow.
A miniature horse. Okay. No, I heard about the horse like years ago, and I go, okay, our world's getting pretty crazy, okay, on a horse. Snakes, anything that could be deemed as comfort, but that's a sticky, slippery slope because there have not, it become an area that's become very abusive where you don't need any certification. You don't need anything, literally. You can actually, buy a certificate that say that this is a comfort animal. Therefore, it overrides everything, that everybody had to abide by. Think about this, okay? You have an animal that are brought into your office for treating, the patient needing treatment, and this animal coming to your office. It's not muzzled, first of all. It doesn't know anybody in your office. This is the first time that they come in. And where do you put this creature? Does it stay in the front room? In the waiting area, sitting next to everybody that they don't know? Did they go into the clinical area? Where did they go? If you are the doctor or, the dentist or the assistant, work on the patient and the patient go, ouch, would the dog attack you? I don't know, okay? It's still a very hot topic of discussion.
There's a lot of discussion that would come around that, because obviously the big thing is, from the three categories that you described, service animal, that animal is there to help that individual. They are specially trained. They are like unbelievable, and I've been around a bunch of them, and they are just literally unbelievable animals. You can't believe how smart they are and what their intent is. So, you know, that's not, to me, that would be, okay, that's not that big of an issue, because that animal is going to be with that patient no matter what, and you don't have to worry about the animal being loose and interacting with others. The comfort animal is a different case, because the comfort animal is the patient's own comfort is necessary and it is being provided for by that animal. So while the patient is going through a procedure, the animal is in fact with the patient. So, you know, you're there. I guess it all depends on the patient procedure. You know, if it's a cleaning, for example, or hygiene appointments, one thing. You know, if you're doing a major tooth extraction, you know, that'd kind of be another. Some animals, we've had animals for years and years and years, some animals are beyond protective of their owners. So they could very easily ascertain that you crawling into the mouth of an individual or patient and trying to take out a tooth, you're actually trying to hurt that person. So it could be the debate could be really easy that could be a bad thing. And then the issue, you know, the idea of having the animal stay somewhere outside or within the lobby or wherever while the patient's in the back, to me, just doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, that animal is not familiar with everything that's going around and going on around them. You know, it just, my opinion is that would be kind of problematic in itself. So you're right. Kind of a sticky wicket that you get yourself into. The first one's easy. Everything else after that's a little more difficult.
Yeah, the first one is very defined. Okay, it's a group of people with legitimate disability that are protected under the, you know, the ADA, you know, which is a federal law. So there's no debate. Part of the challenge right now in the social environment is that because the comfort animal thing has become so abusive that people who are legitimate disabled with a service animal are being confronted by the public because, you know, they feel that it's fraudulent. I mean, it's a problem. It's right now, in my opinion, it's a problem. We go to, now because I live in Florida, the temperature outside right now is relatively mild. You know, an individual, I'm not saying that people don't love their animal, you know, and they shouldn't treat it right. What I'm saying is that if you need to run down the grocery store, take you 15 minutes, if Fifi is going to destroy your house when you get home after 15 minutes, you got the wrong 50, okay? If you can't handle going to the store to pick up a gallon of milk for 15 minutes, you really, really need help. Not comfort, but really need help. The what I've seen becoming a very, very common occurrence is people taking their dog into the grocery store and put it into the grocery cart where everybody else buys grocery to put in the grocery cart. The grocer do not have a protocol in place to clean and sanitize the cart. I know people say, hey, the cart go outside, get dirty, whatever. That's not the point. The point is animals lick themselves and they get put into a place where you are subjected to food. You know, that's other people buy food. So it's a huge debate. It's a huge area of abuse. And think about putting a you know, you go to the grocery store and somebody really needs to be comforted by a miniature pony or a pot-bellied pig that they take into the store or into your office. Okay, and it does its business on the floor. That's a different issue. I used to, you know, my family used to raise pigs. I'm telling you, a little pot-bellied pig or a big swine, when they go to the bathroom, it smells the same. Okay, really bad. Okay, but
wow.
I think part of the confusion, you know, this is a topic maybe we can go on forever. Part of the confusion for everybody, for the business owner, as well as the design community, is that who has jurisdiction over the topic? You know, is it the ADA? Is it OSHA? Is it the Department of Labor? Department of Health? Your local building official? The state? Or the Fed? Who? You know, there's not a single clearinghouse that you can go to and ask your question and get your answer. It's almost like, you know, you're on your own on that topic.
In a way that's not a bad thing. You know, we're always an advocate of we ought to be adults, and we ought to be able to make our own decisions and not be legislated to by government bureaucracies.
Right.
So you know, it actually is a good thing in the sense that you, as the dental owner of the practice, can make that determination. And obviously, you can set criteria. You make it known either by on your website, or whether you put it on, you know, on a signage as they enter the building, whatever. But you make it known. It's uniform throughout, and then you're okay. It is what it is. Now, obviously, if you're in a community that has set ordinances that are more restrictive than that and require you to do whatever, you'll have to check that out.
Actually, Jim, I agree with you, is that less legislation and more common sense.
However, the common sense, yes.
Yeah. However, the main thing is that people are so trigger happy with litigations and stuff like that. Again, that regardless what your policy is, you should communicate with your attorney to make sure that whatever that policy is, that it is in compliant and applicable to the, you know, to the law. Okay. Otherwise, you set up yourself, for failure. What I found out is that, you know, like you have an individual who is just deathly allergic to peanuts. You're flying on an airplane, for instance. You know, they would take there's no peanut in sight. However, if you're allergic to animal dander, you're tough out of luck. It's not even relevant. You just suffer to it. Okay, how is that fair? So it's gone way beyond common sense. I think that's probably why people drink when they fly. It's that way they can get comfort.
And how does it change? All right. Well, obviously, like I said before, if you'd like to call in and ask a question of myself, Han, or Dr. Bill when he gets in, give us a call at 657-383-1442. The other area that we wanted to mention, our last episode we discussed and talked about the area of taking a residential facility and transferring it into and creating a dental practice. Basically, the nutshell, it was creation of a residential building into a commercial building. And we talked about quite many aspects that you had to deal with and a checklist that you had to go through before you made the decision that if you couldn't check off the majority of these items, you better tear it down and move forward with a new building. But the other area that we did not cover during that, which we're going to save for another episode, is all of the guts. When I talk about the guts, we're talking about the mechanical, the electrical, the plumbing, the utility systems,
the structures,
the structural componentry, the foundation, the areas that are crucial to making a dental practice work that are totally different from that of a house. So it's like you're taking one item, trying to morph it into something else, and what are those pitfalls going to be? So look forward to that to be an episode coming up in the near future to discuss that kind of thing. And it's germane to also taking a existing space, let's say an existing building, whatever it is. That existing building may be, warehouse. There's a good idea. Okay, you got a warehouse. It's beautiful. It's a blank slate. There's nothing there except for a floor, a wall, and a roof. Well, that's true. There's very little there. But at the same time, you've got to look at the electrical components, the structural components, what you have to do for, you know, under slab stuff. All those things have to be looked at. Another example might be, didn't you do this one, Han, down in Florida? It was a movie theater?
Yep, a movie theater. It's historical. Historical.
Well, that's even worse. Historical movie theater.
Yeah, I've been involved in a few historical structure converted to other applications, stuff like that. The main thing is, first of all, you have to approach it from a financial aspect. Does it make sense? Okay. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Let's say you really, really love historical building and you have the finance and you want to preserve it. I give you a high five. I love old buildings, okay? And I think that's a great thing if you can preserve that fabric, that make that community what it is. But a lot of time when you look at a historical building and you are on a tight budget, that would be the very first wrong move, is that you get emotionally attached to it, okay? Those are very interesting topic to discuss about, but you have to look at it from really a lot of common sense. Have to apply. Does it really make financial sense? If not, it's time to walk. Okay,
right.
You look at and then you have other building. Let's say pick a hospital, take a restaurant, pick a gas station. Structure that have been around in the community that you want to convert into a dental specific facility. Those are very interesting stuff, interesting discussion. They all come with their pros and cons, and we will be happy to discuss those in this future episode when we talk about converting an existing structure, whatever it is, into a dental office.
Even one would think that the easiest would be, say, take an existing doctor's office and turn it into a medical facility. But in reality, because we've done it and we've had several occasions to work on those things, in reality, it's not a slam dunk. It's not a perfect fit. There are so many things that are totally different than having to do with the dental office. Quick example, the exam room in a dental office, you're effectively trying to take an exam room from a doctor's office and turn it into an operatory. First of all, it's probably the wrong size. Most exam rooms are nowhere near the right proportion or the right size to turn into an operatory. And then second of all, then all the utilities that go into that particular space are wrong. Dental offices have everything, as you know, in a lot of things in the floor, a lot of things against the walls and those kind of things. Whereas an exam room, basically, you know, has a couple outlets, and very much less than that is normal. Sometimes you don't even see a sink in an exam room. So no plumbing.
Yeah, actually, in the dent, in a doctor, you know, a general doctor office, you've got a table. You know, it might move. It may be electrified.
Chair. Yeah.
Okay, and a chair for the doc, a chair for the, you know, for the companion of the patient, maybe. You got a small counter at the by the door, with or without a sink. It is literally bare bone. You can probably take that particular space and convert it to possibly a hygiene, you know, specific dedicated hygiene room. Some argument could be that, you know, if you're in an area where real estate is really high and office space are really tight, and they can make those things work. You know, we're not talking about those, you know, the anomalies. We're talking about in the general population of the standard, the standard practices, what you expect to see, and things like that. So a doctor's office to go into a dentist's office, you might as well gut it and start it over, because it's just you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Yes, it's medical, but it's the wrong kind of medical. It's just the wrong kind of building. So. It's more complex, a lot more complex.
Right. Yeah, it is. Well, obviously, Dr. Bill is buried with patients. I haven't heard from him yet, but we can jump into a little bit of the topic so that we can set the preface for what he's going to talk about in more specifics. But obviously, tonight we wanted to delve into the aspect of starting my dental practice. Am I ready? And this could really be germane to any individual, whether you're an associate right now, whether you're in a partnership and you want to break that partnership apart and start your own, whether you're a young student who is not even out of school yet, but also looking at when will I be ready? Will be ready the day that I open, you know, that I get my certification and I'm out. Or do I have to do what? And what is that what that I have to do? So Dr. Huntsinger is and has mentored numerous young dentists over the years. Yeah, obviously, he's done this from knowledge and expertise that he's granted over doing this more than one time. And he has a really unique ability in his consulting service side of one of the things that we do, to be able to coach these new students of his, to be able to find numerous things, but really the answers, the questions that you want to answer is what do you want to do, and then when do I do it, and how do I move forward. That's one of the things you'd want to put on your checklist, is how do I move forward? And obviously, you know, when is the right time? There's certain criteria that need to be established that Bill will walk you through to be able to create that. And as well, most people don't realize that this is available to them as a service. But over the first few years of you opening your practice, Bill consults and mentors so that everything that you've set up as a program or a plan in place is actually being implemented and implemented properly so that you actually succeed. And it's really kind of an extension of what Han and I do in regards to the design of the building. And our goal is to set the doctor up so that the architecture, the design, the plan, the flow, everything that has to do with the built environment provides you the opportunity to succeed, and that you're not stuck with something that actually hinders that possibility of success. That could be, we could go for hours and hours and hours and talk about those things. everything from improper flow to clinical spaces being in the wrong location within the building and causing staff or even the doctor to make unbelievable, unnecessary waste of time of steps between area to area to area. And you do that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of time, time racks up, and that time is lost time, which is lost money. So,
you know,
gonna say,
one of the, one of the values that I think that are understated a lot of time when you look at professional services and mentorship and stuff like that is when you hire professionals for them to give you their share their expertise and give you guidance and stuff like that. I myself personally value those that have the honesty to tell me walk. It's not right now. Let's say if the program is not right, I'm not ready. I don't have the skill set. You know, the finance is not in its proper place yet and stuff like that. I would appreciate that my mentor tells me that, here, this is the thing that you need to do, should do, get more CE course, learn more, do more, do this procedure, that procedure, and all that stuff, and then do this with your finance, and all the other things to make sure I got all my ducks in a row, and in 2 years from now, launch, okay, and take your first real step into business ownership. We, from a design standpoint, when we look at property, when we look at location, we look at site, we look at the overall picture, and I would think that those who trusted us in our judgment will also value the fact that we say, this property lacks this, 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 and this, and that. You should walk and look at something else. I myself think that's a value added. I'd rather have somebody that tells me that, and I think Bill does, than to simply say, let's just move forward and we get paid and you're on your own. I value the honesty. I value the straight communication. So that way you might need to regroup, and before you take the first step forward, where it can be on solid foundation, and then trying to do things on your own because you think you can. Okay, of course you always can make up, you're always encouraged to make up your own decisions, but once you have the recommendation, the advice, the assessment, hopefully that decision is to heed what has been shared with you and give you some real honest assessment and thinking.
Absolutely.
Jim?
I know we have we've had several opportunities that came to us, clients that saw what we were all about and came to us and said, hey, I want you to design my new building, or I want you to design my new practice, and I'm not quite sure what I want it to be, but I want you guys to be involved on that. We said, great, let's start into the process and start evaluating where you're at and what's going on. Very quickly, it was determined that one particular doctor was just really not ready, to have his own practice move from where it was at now. He had an existing practice that he was working with, but really wasn't ready to move into that new facility or take on that new avenue, and subsequently Bill has been working with that individual, and sometimes it'll take months or might even take years for that dentist to get to the point where, okay, now it's time, now you're ready. And like Han said, we'd much rather say you're not ready, or you need to do something else, as opposed to just say, sure, we'll design whatever you want, and not be in a position to set you up to succeed. I know that sounds kind of like a little bit more like a commercial today, but in reality it's not, because really we want to make sure that you if you don't deal with us, you deal with somebody who will say that kind of thing to you. They'll tell you the straight stuff as opposed to what you want to hear. Because a lot of times what you want to hear may not be the right thing. And not having all those facts, you could lead yourself down the road and jump into something that, oh my, way above your head, or the wrong selection or the wrong direction, which doesn't set you up to succeed, but in reality sets you up to fail. And that's a disaster that none of us want you to go through.
And in some of the decisions depends on what you're going to do. Okay, from starting a practice of your own, some of those mistakes are $300,000-$400,000 mistakes. If you pick the wrong location and nobody can see you and no traffic come by your front door and what have you, to recoup that error could take you years. Right? Think about buying a piece of land, and build your own building and all that stuff. It's an exciting thing to do, but if it's in a location where you're not seen, it's hard to get to. It has no growth and stuff like that. A brand new building that you pay for $1 million, $2 million that you can't grow. That's a huge mistake. So. It's work. You know, sometimes for us, it's work that we turn away because it doesn't make sense. Okay, we'd rather you go back and go back to square one and look for a different site that are more, that has all the right ingredients, and then. And then start with the design and the build process, than to simply fall in love with something that just doesn't work because you got it for cheap, one thing. Okay, it has to be right. Everything, or most of everything, has to be in its proper place, for it to ensure that your chance of success is good or great, than to simply, try to develop something that puts you in the negative, that's just going to bury you. We'd rather that you don't do that than try and buy yourself a little more time to find something different. And I think our program is Straight Talk, and that's Straight Talk.
Exactly. Well, a little bit more about Bill's consulting service and what he does in this professional consulting service for the startup dentists, as well as he also works with the dentists who are established, but want to do something more, or hit a wall and said I'm at this point, but I can't seem to grow past this point. I want to grow past this point. I've got one facility, and maybe I want my aspirations. I want to have three. What do I have to do? Bill can also help through his consulting service to work through and get you to that point. And his expertise is there because he's done that and done it very successfully. So there, it's not like the old adage, what do they say, If you know how to do it, you're going to do it. If you don't know how to do it, you end up instructing others.
Oh, you mean those who don't do teachers?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong with teachers, but at the same time, make sure that you work with somebody. It doesn't have to be Bill. It doesn't have to be us. But make sure you work with somebody who knows what they're doing, who has done it, who's gotten their nose bloodied, who has been in the trenches and has actually worked out these areas of expertise by actually pounding the bricks and creating the necessary environments and making the environment within the dental office something where clients are going to stay. They know how to do, he knows how to do that. Make sure you find somebody that has done that, knows how to do it, if you're going to take their advice. or if you're going to let them help you to move forward. Because I'd much rather have set myself up to succeed if I was in that endeavor than I would be to, you know, just listen to somebody who sounded good, for example. Well, you know, Han and I don't sound good. We just know what we know because we've been through it and we've done a lot of it. And we've seen what worked very, very well, and we've seen what didn't work. And that's crucial. That's very crucial when you're trying to take on a project. These projects, you could be in the million plus, $2 million. That's a humongous gamble that is hard to make up if it's a failure. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of dental procedures, isn't it, Han?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think, in terms of you, if the question you ask, I think there's two that I have often heard and I like, okay? If you know the why, the how is easy, all right? And what I mean by that is I can only speak, speak in terms of design, okay? If we place a room in a certain location within the building, I know why, and I'll tell you why. And then if there is anything that are not, let me say that you want extra and to solve and stuff like that, the one because I know why, how to solve those problems are really easy. We look at a number of designs that are done by others, because I provide design critiques on the downtown message board and stuff like that. And often I look at the design, they design because they can. It's not because they know, it's just because they can. The motive, the incentive and all that, if it's not for the benefit of the doctor and it's in the form of messed up. So when you sit down with your consultants, or your designer, your architect and stuff like that, they know how to solve problems, okay? The better question to ask them is why you do certain things that you do. And if they can't answer that question, there's something missing, okay? Why is the door swing this way? Why is the space this big? Why, why the window need to be here and things like that? Why? It's almost sound like a 2-year-old kid. Why? Those of you who have children around young kids and stuff like that, yes, it's a little funny, but it can be annoying. But it's a question you got to ask. Just go ahead and ask. Why do you recommend a certain thing? They have their reason, and if it doesn't sound reasonable or logical to you, ask them again, okay? Because there's a methodical way of doing things. Common sense is one of those really rare commodities among the human race. That's just my opinion, but it is. We get so emotional over things that we make wrong decision or bad decisions. So when it comes to building your practice, design your building or whatever the case is, if you know the why, then how to achieve it is really simple. You can figure it out. Okay? I like that challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. I know one of the first things that Bill does when he starts this process is, he'll sit down and discuss where you're at, where you're at in the process. So like I said before, you could be a student. He's worked with and talked with students, and they're close to graduating, getting ready to move forward. Work with them. I know we have a client that's started talking with us when they were within 2 years of graduating, and started the process. Well, here we go. We got Bill. Excellent. Dr. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, Jim, I showed up.
Excellent. Well, we've already done all the background work about your consulting service and all the great things that you can do to help these young dentists who, you know, are thinking about what the world am I going to do once I get out of school, or what the world am I going to do with this associateship that I have. When do I really know what time is ready for me to move forward and actually do my own practice? So I'll let you discuss a little bit more of the process.
Well, as you know, that is it's a huge challenge. As far as starting your own practice, now, I will tell you that, and if you gave the background, you know that I didn't actually start from scratch. I was an associate until we broke up. So then I pretty much started over again. So one of the things that I did with that is I was located in an area where there was a need for dentists. And I had a couple of people with me who were staff members who were really super sharp and really helped me a lot to go into the practice. But I had also done a residency program before I went into general practice with this guy. And I think one of the key things as you're, before you start your practice, you should definitely either be in an associateship or a general practice residency where you're going to be working in a program with somebody who can teach you how to do more things in dentistry. Because in dentistry today, people love it when you can keep them in your office and do their root canals and take out their teeth and do their fillings and their crowns and restore implants and minimum do all those things, and you'll be much more successful. So one of the new things that's out there, maybe you guys have already talked about, is that dental demographics, which is a great thing on practice location. If you're looking to start a new practice, the hard thing, of course, is you'll start with nothing and you have no patients. So that's why it's great to have a area that doesn't have many dentists. So there's a high demand in that you can do marketing. Now, external marketing is super, super important at this point because you've got to get them in the door first. And then you can do work with your internal marketing. You get involved in the community. I know I belong to Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce and any other service organization I could belong to get out and about so people could know who I was. But again, when you're starting your own practice, there are many, many, many details. And learning how to run a business is another very important thing. When you start your own practice, I was very fortunate to have somebody who understood bookkeeping, who was working for me, who could handle my books and payroll and all that other fun stuff that they don't teach in dental school.
So that's like architecture. They don't teach you how to be a businessman in the architectural program. They just teach you how to design.
Yeah, and as you know, there's a lot to it. One of the great things, of course, about today is there's a lot of online information. I know that we have guys work on Dental Town. There's good information there. I work with another guy named Tom Warren, 1000 Gems. There's a lot of information there. Plus, I have a lot of information. But you've got to get it up and running. You've got to get cash flow, and so that's the big decision. So. That's why I believe that it's always better to work in a practice before you actually start your practice. As you guys well know, I prefer to buy practices, and I've bought several over the years. And I look for cash flow. I look for a dentist that isn't doing a lot of procedures so that you can go in there and service people, giving them more. Like, if you find a practice where they're sending out all the extractions and all the root canals and a lot of services, it's pretty easy to go in there and inform patients, hey, you don't have to go out for this. You can stay here. We can do it right in the office. And patients generally really like that. We've done that a number of times, and a number of the offices that we've done. But you know, when we brought this question up as to when, that it's a tough one. You know, when is it right? Would I have gone out on my own a year, maybe another 8 or 9 months after my residency? Probably not. I probably would have stayed with this guy, but it just didn't work out. I was just, like I said, I was fortunate enough to be in a spot where I could start a practice and still have patients and still have enough cash flow that I could pay my bills. But again, I didn't have a lot of bills. I had basically no debt except for my educational debt, which in those days it wasn't horrible when I started. So what you're saying now.
Yeah, what you're saying, Bill, is one of the things that you have available is to help that young dentist who is at that point of, what do I do? So I guess you're recommending that they can easily contact you and ask that question. You'll be able to review their circumstances of where they're at and at least give them some direction based upon your experiences.
Well, I'd agree with that, Jim, because who knows where they're at? Like, if you're coming out of dental school, quite honestly, you don't know anything. You know the minimum as far as doing dentistry. And I got to tell you that I've interviewed several new graduates, and one of the other great things is not only are you at least competent at doing the minimum things in dentistry, is that you're a human being. In other words, you relate to people at a decent level, and surprisingly, some people do not relate well, and it's one of the key factors in being a dentist and being in a service business like this, is that you've got to be able to relate to people and talk to them in plain language that they understand, and not give them all the engineering or architectural details about how you're going to fix their tooth. So
that keeps them
coming
back,
out of
right?
Dental school, right. Well, coming out of dental school, I would highly recommend you don't start a practice from scratch. I would highly recommend that you find a job, and there are a lot of jobs in corporate dentistry now, and there are a lot of associate positions available right now, because dentistry is really going pretty well, and dental practices are looking for people to come into their practices and help and be associates. So based on that, and depending on what type of associate, you can make a decent salary, help pay down some of your debt, and scout the area as far as looking for either an established practice to buy or find a highly desirable location to put a practice in. I've done both. We've done both with guys. We've helped them get a location where they need to start from scratch, but they're very familiar with the area. We've also helped quite a few people look and do an analysis of a practice and decide, is this one I could buy and make money? So there's really no good excuse with the amount of information that's out there that you can't be successful as a dentist. I mean,
Bill, that's an important point. I don't want to gloss over in that one of the areas that you can help specifically these young dentists who are trying to look at what they want to do is help them evaluate existing practices. So whether that's an evaluate to go in as an associate, evaluate to go in to buy, you can really help to evaluate that practice and say, yeah, that's a good move, or no, that's not a good move, and here's why.
Right, and Jim, you know, a lot is contingent on what the dentist wants to do. I mean,
right.
There are a group of dentists out there that are fine working for somebody, and they're happy, and they don't really want to deal with any of the management issues, and, you know, they make either great long-term associates or employees in a larger group-type practice setting in practices that we won't name today. So not to be named. So, and they're happy doing that, and that's great. Han knows what I'm talking about. And then there are people that have more of an entrepreneurial mentality, and at the very least, they want to own their own practice. And you can still be a solo practitioner and make it today. Now, it's tougher because most practices are open more hours, and I know I am, and we're open more days, and we have a lot of technology, and it gets to be very competitive. So, but it doesn't mean you can't do it. I mean, but there's certainly a great way to start is to start your own practice and, or buy one, establish and make it your own, and then grow it to the point where you can have at least two dentists. I think a real sweet spot, we talked about this before, is two doctors working together in a 5-6 operatory office and working a split shift and being available to people and creating office or convenience services and getting people in. So the crux, though, of when is, well, first of all, you've got to have your head on, right? You've got to really understand what you're doing. And I mean, if you're young, you honestly, you don't. And so you want to find somebody who knows more, or a mentor or somebody to work with. And let's face it, guys, I've got a lot of experience. I've bought, how many did we buy? 7 or 8. We built, Bill remodeled, what, 5 or 6 buildings? I can't remember, at least 5 or 6, maybe more than that, on our own, for my practice.
Actually, I think it's up to 8 right now, Bill.
Okay, and we're doing an addition now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you are.
So, you know, when is a good time? Now, if you are mentally prepared, you have a good skill set, personally and with your, you know, with our chosen profession and the technical side, and you're willing to learn and grow, then okay, then that answers, that check marks one of the boxes right now. So you're ready. You've got to be ready first. Then the next thing is you've got to go out and find a dental practice or an area, a zip code or a town or a city or a part of a town where you can either start a fresh practice, open your door, or again, you can buy an established practice that has all the right parameters. It's what you're looking to do. And then, you know, dentistry can be practiced in many different ways. I mean, there's high volume, run them through here. There's lower volume. There's all kinds of different ways to do it. But again, you've got to be mentally prepared and technically prepared. And then you've got to have resources to put it together. Now, as far as financial, Jim and Con, you and I both know that there are many lenders that are willing to lend a dentist money if he's got a good business plan. And having a good business plan is another thing we can help you with. But and they locate a practice or a building or a rental space that they're going to occupy. And it's pretty easy to prove the numbers are going to work. And money is still relatively inexpensive. The interest rates are relatively low. Bankers generally love to loan money to dentists who are starting their own practice. They're going to have an owner-occupied site. So all that's very favorable. So if you're thinking, I'm going to wait till it gets better, I'm going to advise you and tell you right now, it's not going to get any better than this. Okay? I mean, it just isn't. So, and you got to be willing to work, okay? I am obviously not doing everything perfectly. I'm driving home at almost 9 o'clock at night from my office because we have evening hours. But it's something I chose to do. And I can do a lot of things a lot of other people can't do because I've chosen to do things that they can or won't do. So it's a... The time is now. There's really no good excuse. I mean, if you've got anything at all that you're thinking about looking at or doing, you need to call us. You need to talk to us. We can do an evaluation of a practice. We can evaluate demographics. We can evaluate. I hate to say it, I can actually evaluate them just by talking to a lot of people to see if they're prepared to do what it takes. And you guys, Han, you have looked at thousands of locations and Jim, and thousands of layouts, and on the structural side, you've talked to a ton of dentists, Han, and let's face it, you sometimes know for yourself that when you're talking to somebody, you're thinking, oh my goodness, they need to keep working for the place that remains unnamed. So, but if you're that person who's serious, I mean serious. I mean, this is a big step. I mean, I've been in this area of the country since 1981 and raised my children here and my wife's here and we've done well. In fact, my son's a dentist with me now. So you've got to be prepared to do that. So but my goodness, if you're standing there and you've got everything going for you and you're ready to go, then what's holding you up? I mean, let's not be timid. The stuff's available. You get a good business plan. You let us help you. We can find. We'll find a spot together. We'll find bare land. We'll find a place that we can redo. We can find rental space. We have every expert at our fingertips to help you get started and put a plan together that you're going to succeed. But whoa, a little icy out here tonight, guys. I'm driving home. So
you gotta be careful.
Careful, bud.
Yeah, we were saying, Bill, before you came on the line that, you know, not everybody is our client, and we've had numerous instances where doctors have come to us and said they want to do a building or they want to design a practice, and we're saying, okay, you're not ready yet, and you work with them, and you're working with them right now, and
right.
you'll continue to work
right.
with them till they
exactly.
are ready, you know, till they are ready to be able to take that step and move forward and do what they're ready to do. So it's all about setting them up to succeed. It's not about getting a fee. We don't want that. We want successful projects and successful practices so that, you know, we leave that as part of what we are. That's kind of like our, you know, our legacy, if you want to call it that. It's crucial. Not everybody is going to be a client right now. Now, hopefully everybody will be a client down the road. But right now, they may have a year or 2 years they have to work with you. I don't know. You know, all depends where they're at.
Right, and that's fine, and I know we've got a couple guys that are getting closer that we've been working with for a couple of years because they actually had an established practice that wasn't growing, and we went in there and helped them grow it. And so you get your numbers of active patients up, and there's all kinds of interesting things that can happen. That's one of the challenges we're having. That's why we're adding operatories onto our building. So, and I hate to say it, you need to write down stuff, guys. You need to write down what your goals are. You need to think about what type of a practice you want to have. Han, as you know, how many styles of offices have you set up, right?
Yep.
I mean, we've got guys that like to practice in rooms that are the size of a coffin. And that is very challenging. And that's a group that remains unnamed who likes to design those type of places. And I would never
do that. The
minimalists.
The minimalists.
Yeah, well, and you know, I was talking to somebody about that today, and I was going, how do you get a wheelchair in here, and how do you move a patient from that wheelchair into your dental chair? And
you pick them up and carry them.
For a walker? And is there a clearance for a companion? Well, some of this stuff doesn't meet code. I don't even understand how they build them sometimes. So there are things that I'm going to tell you, Han and Jim, you guys have forgotten a lot more than some of these guys know, think they know. So, you know, it's one of the great things about working with you guys is that we have a diverse background in a lot of different areas of dentistry, as well as just general construction and site planning and all kinds of stuff. And if you're out there looking for somebody to give you some advice, then we can definitely give you some advice. And you know, we don't mean to be mean. It's just that...
we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you the straight stuff, right?
Yeah, and I hate to say that, but that's exactly what happens. Because how did we learn? How did we learn? Well, I've already made a lot of those mistakes personally myself. You know, taking old buildings and trying to remodel it, and you know, not knowing that there was a right of way here and there's a setback there, and just all kinds of, there was a dump here, all kinds of interesting things we learned over the years that we know not to do. So we're pretty easy to contact, aren't we now, Jim? Well, yeah, we're not doing that again, absolutely. So it's pretty easy to get a hold of us, right? I mean, I know Han is, we have a contact form, right, Han? I mean, there's a... The website is set up. I know that people can set up a time to talk with us.
Yeah, Bill, we've got a new system that we just implemented, and might as well just go ahead and talk about it for 5 seconds, is that go on our website, you can click on the setup a consult time, and you actually will have the ability to pick a time and a date that you can connect with either myself or Han and or Bill through the process there, so that if you have a specific question or a specific time that works with your schedule, you can do that. We'll get notified. We'll accept it. And effectively, you can have a one-on-one discussion about your particular question. So it's real easy. Or you can call the 800 number that is 1-866-213-1268. Or you can go to our website, www.hjtdesign.com. And there's, a plethora of information there. I guess I want to just say, thank you, Bill, for the treacherous drive home, but still talking with us. I know our listeners, we're getting...
Don't tell my mother. We will not tell my mother or my wife that
Well, she might be listening right now, secret. Bill, so be careful. She might be listening.
That would not be good.
We are literally getting hundreds of listens on our podcasts across the world. Lots of places, lots of people, and we're just thankful we have this opportunity to be able to get this information out. We're here to help. Feel free to give us a call, and we'd love to at least hear from you. There's no pressure. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get sent a bill if you send us a call or ask for a consult. We're really here to help, and when it comes to the right time, then we'll set up the contractual arrangements and move forward. But that's when it's right and when you're ready. I guess that's the easy way to say it.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Right, Han? Han, how many guys have you been working with for a while? Quite a few, and now we're starting to see things happen.
Actually, the things that have been shared with me recently is that the way we work, they call us because they have questions. We answer their questions and invite them to check out, to do their own homework and stuff like that. And if they are comfortable with us and things like that, give us a call and say, I want to work with you. There's no pressure, okay? And I think they appreciate that. There's no contract to sign. There's no fees to pay. Because the only reason why that I call vendors and manufacturers and stuff like that is because I have questions. I need answers. If I have to pay for it, more likely I go to somebody else that would answer for free. Not that we work for free, but our initial conversation, our initial contact is, you have questions, you want to know, you want to see, are this guy really legit? Are they as nice as they sound? Do they know their stuff? Now that's your chance. Okay.
Well, we
you
really,
give a call.
Behind, watch where you're going here. Watch where you're going here, So we are really kind of nice most of the time. But,
most
here's the thing
time.
About us, Han, and Han's a classic example. Yeah, no. Here's the thing is we really love what we're doing. I mean, I love
That's
this
true.
Whole
Absolutely.
Gig. I've been in it a long
That's
time.
True.
And it's a great gig, and so is Han, and so is Jim. So we love actually to talk dentistry. We love to talk about – I love talking about teeth. I love to talk about how running an office, how to increase your business. All that stuff, I love it. And these guys love to talk about site plans and walls and windows and lighting and
building
ergonomics
systems.
I love to tell you the magic of squeezing 10 pounds of manure into a 5-pound bag. I love that.
There you go. So anyway, hey guys, I got to sign off. We're running late. And I apologize for being late again tonight, but they're killing. But we have so many great systems that we designed at work is that I'm in high demand. How about that? That sounds like a good
There you go, Bill.
So appreciate.
Thank you, Bill.
You guys. We'll be in touch. Okay. Yeah. Good
Take
night,
care, buddy.
Thank you.
Be
bye
careful.
Bye.
Take care. All
right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep.
So folks, obviously, if you have a question, please feel free to contact us. Get a hold of it through our new website to be able to set up a consult time. If you'd like to talk about anything further, send us an email. We're here. We're here to help. And I think if you're in a position right now that you'd like to think about what am I going to do? Am I ready to start my new dental practice? Your best opportunity is you've got a beautiful resource to get a hold of Bill. Talk with him about it, and you can start that process. And it's never too early, is it, Han?
Nope. It's because it's, you know, the everything that we do, everything that you're planning takes time. So planning and timing is everything. You know, a month go by really fast. You know, the process takes months. So, you know, if you need to start, you should have started yesterday. But, you know, reach out, ask the question, get the answer, and decide what you want to do or who you do with.
Okay?
So we encourage you to.
Thank you all for your time. Look forward to being back in touch next Tuesday. We'll have another exciting topic that we haven't established yet, but we will have an exciting topic to talk about. Thank you.
And till next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.